All right, folks, this is Amy, and I'm rocking out here. It is 3 o'clock, and it is time for the 5-H show. And I'm starting the 5-H show a little differently than normal because today, we are traveling to Plainfield, Vermont, to meet with our neighbor, local rock star, J. Willis Pratt. We are going to sit right at his kitchen table and talk with him and get to find out, what has he been up to? What's he doing these days? Willis, what are all the creative projects you've been involved in over the years? You're amazing. And lucky me, he is good friends with my husband. So we went over to his new apartment the other day and got the skinny for the 5-H show. The 5-H's stand for health, happiness, harmony, humor, and humanity. And Willis, you embody all of that. And then you keep rocking more. So I don't know if any of y'all out there love rock and roll as much as I do, but a lot of humans do, I know. And this show's for you. So I'm sitting here on January 24th, 2024. With the famous J. Willis Pratt of Plainfield, Vermont. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. We've been trying to do this for a couple of months now because I really know that the world really wants to hear from you.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you're hearing from me very soon.
Yeah. So for folks may not know, but where would they have heard you play back in the day?
Nectar's. Uh-huh. Local bars, pretty much, and one time at the Pepsi Arena, which used to be the Knickerbocker in Albany, New York.
Oh, nice. Okay. And where were you born, Willis?
Bennington, Vermont. I believe at 4 a.m. at Putnam Memorial Hospital.
Oh, wow. Excellent. Yeah. And what got you into rock and roll?
Probably Kissing the Beatles.
Okay.
I was actually telling somebody those are the two bands that majorly were responsible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we got it.
That's my neighbor.
That's your neighbor. Yeah. Cool. Well, definitely, I wanted to ask you about Kiss, but I guess let's just start with that. Yeah. Why Kiss? Why is Kiss so important?
Because they're a pretty damn good band. They're like, they are really talented. At first, I thought they were fags in makeup. Excuse the thing, I'm not politically correct, folks, but that was the term used in the day, so no offense intended. But anyways, I lit boyed out and I bought Destroyer and Hurt because I kept hearing Do You Love Me? And I went out and that changed my mind about Kiss.
The song Destroyer.
Well, no, the song Do You Love Me off from the album Destroyer.
Ah.
Yeah.
And was it the guitar in particular?
The guitar, the sound, the overall sound. Mm-hmm. And then when they took off the makeup, it wasn't really Kiss.
No? And when did you start playing guitar? Is that when you started picking it up?
I think in 1974. When I was at Maple Hill School, which is a group home, or was a group home at the time, now it's kind of a school. But it was a group home, and I was there since like in 1974. We moved from Elm Hill, which was the beginning of the whole corporation, I guess you could call it. And all the older kids moved over to Maple Hill, which was on Maple Hill, and then Elm Hill was on East Hill.
Where'd you get your first guitar?
I traded my first guitar, a Paling Face one, for a brown and black little 35mm camera.
Ah.
Yeah, I had the camera and the guy had the guitar and I wanted to trade. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how it officially began.
And you picked it up and what was it like?
I don't know. It's like, it didn't seem like I was taking it serious back then. I mean, I kind of was, but if I took it more serious, I'd be a better guitar player. Let's put it that way. Probably. Maybe. I hope. Mm-hmm. But one thing that confuses me is this metronome, because music really doesn't go. But you got to think, like I'm trying to, because it's something I don't understand. It's like, unless the fourth beat is like, for AC/DC, like, for instance, they mainly go 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, like 1, 2, 3 repeat, and the only fourth beat I can think is when the drums come down, and then they repeat. But that's how I get it. But otherwise, the metronome don't think just completely confuses me. It's like, just do it, and it's like, I can act. It's like, I don't know, there's a weird timing thing that I'm set to have, but apparently Johnny Lee Hooker does too, and there was a video, some people might have saw it, with James, Dave Byrne from Talking Head, talking to Trey and Fish and Paige and them, the boys from Biz, you know, and comparing me to Johnny Lee Hooker anyway, saying something about my timing. Pretty good, but I gotta still correct Trey on that and say, no, my timing's good. I keep 4/6 beat. It does, it's pretty steady, and as long as I got fans, that's all I care. And who made the rules anyways? That's the way I look at it. Yeah. It's like Wild, my song Wild is spastic, and the timing could be considered weird on that, but it's one that Fish fell in love with, and we connected.
Well, that's what I like most about your music, is it's like you're playing right on the edge in real time. It's not predicted time. You know, it's not like 4-beat necessary.
Well, the more I learn it, the better it gets, you know. Mm-hmm. So it is. So I like it. I mean, I like it being different because it gives you a different show, as long as people are still liking it. That's what's important.
Oh, yeah.
And I got that ability, it seems, so I'm going to keep on doing it my way. Yeah. I did it my way.
Yeah. Yeah, so you picked up that first guitar, and you and you loved it. And did you start writing music right away?
I think so.
Yeah.
I can't remember my actual first song, but I think one of them was Hippie Dude.
Was what?
Hippie Dude.
Hippie Dude.
Well, I made it to her because I was actually trying to write a song, but also there was this kid named Mark that I used to pick on a bit. Maple Hill, who is a bit of a hippie, sadomasochist sort of in a way, but so to get his coat, I'd like rub it in by calling him Hippie Dude, and then run to my room, and then he'd come and try to beat the crap out of me, and I'm like, Mark, get out of my room, and it's like, Mark, get out of my room. It's like a game. Yeah, I think we all kind of had that game, it's a subconscious game going, because there was always a pecking order, and it seemed like I was like, oh yeah, it's like, this kid's smaller, I get to have my turn. It's like, you don't think about it. I think it just automatically, because it's been done to you, you automatically do it to other people without realizing it at first.
Yeah, so you guys
maybe you realize it, I don't know.
Sounds like siblings, kind of, like you had sort of a sibling.
Yeah, well, we're foster siblings, so yeah, yeah. Kind of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Aw, so, yeah, so you wrote a song about Hippie.
Yeah, Hippie Dude.
Hippie Dude, yeah. And so, how many albums have you produced?
Well, I got the Lost Paradox, which is a cassette, and it's pretty good, and then Bleeding in a Shark's Tank and Rhythm of the Sun. Not the best recordings, but when somebody else is paying, you gotta take what you get for one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like Bleeding in a Shark's Tank, Rhythm of the Sun, The Lost Paradox, and then I had a whole bunch of odd end ones that I made myself put together, like the very best, which I don't have a copy of now. I'd have to download it and redo the CD, and very best of a few different ones that I made live at the Met too.
Oh.
Which is the Metrodome in Burlington.
Excellent. So these are live show productions.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, like at Bonestock. It was the first time I played that song. I'm trying to think of the song. I wrote it and I'm spacing out.
Where you throw the TV out the window?
Well, that's a good one though, but no, that's about that. That's on Bleeding in a Shark's Tank.
Yeah,
let's see what I can't even think of my own song right now. This is still needing coffee to wake me up. I'm just drinking my chug-offee. That's what I call this, folks. Yeah. It's chug of tea and coffee mixed. It's actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Medicated.
Yeah. Yeah, so we could jump ahead to just sort of modern time so people know where you're at. I mean...
Yeah.
What's going on with...
Well, right now, we're jumping really to the modern times. I'm trying to get my album, which we had like a few years back. It says on the back of my shirt, I can't think of it, 1920-something. So we had the gig at Goddard, my benefit, and the album. When we get it out, it's going to be called Gig Alive, but getting a two-disc album out on vinyl. My ideal is for a red and a blue disc, but I'm thinking if I don't get that, maybe I'm thinking because I got one by the band called the Dolly Rots, and it's clear and it's kind of neat because it looks like glass.
Wow, the album
but
is
it's an album and it's clear with like little blue spots on it that they can do that, and it's like, wow, that's kind of cool. So either those two colors are clear. I kind of like the clear ideal too.
Uh-huh.
It's like if it's done right, you look in and it's like, where's the album? Because you look invisible. It's like, hey, wait a minute, he ripped me off. There's no album. It's right there. You just got to pull that up.
Yeah, really, yeah. A trick album.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what kind of music are you preparing for this album?
Well, it's my live gig. So
oh, okay.
It's whatever's been performed at the Hay Barn. That gig, and it's pretty much punk metal.
Oh,
hard rock.
So it's from that benefit concert that you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there. That was incredible.
Yeah. So, and maybe if I'm lucky, I can get one extra song. So hopefully it'll be 20 to 21 songs, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah, because I think we did like 20 at the gig, cutting out some of the other stuff, like little, like, where I mess up on the Prodigies. I was thinking making a reel at the end to put that on the album still, but have it at the end. But the two I'm keeping is the one where I start off with AC/DC, but I mess it up, but I do a good jam anyway, so it's worth keeping for that. The same with the Judas Priest one. I do part of Living After Midnight, but if I could ever get the lyrics down, I could probably do the song pretty good.
Yeah, your same voice.
Well, like Diamonds and Rust, I do that a lot, and and I always tell people, like, I don't know the lyrics by this, but it's a great song by Joan Baez, and I have to do it. I figure Judas Priest is their metal version, I might as well do the version too, you know, and mine's a little closer to Joan Jett's as far as guitar playing goes, but it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah, yeah. So it'll be nice to have the music from that concert out.
Yeah.
That people can get.
Yeah, I put it online for you folks out there so you can, like, check it out with my little commentary on the back, mm-hmm. talking about the album. It's coming hopefully within 2 or 3 months. It depends on the funds. Yeah.
Nice. And so for folks who are listening on the radio, they may not know about this benefit concert. Back, what was that, 2019?
I think so. Is there a shirt there, Doug? One of my tie-dyes? It might have the date on it.
It was before 2020.
Yeah, it was...
But a year or two before.
2 or 3 years ago. It's it's hard to tell because time goes by pretty quick.
It does, doesn't it?
No, I don't see one.
Yeah, there's one in there, but it's not important. But yeah, a few years ago, we did a gig anyway.
Yeah, a big gig, right.
Yeah.
At the Hay Barn at Goddard College.
There we go, Doug found the shirt. He's determined. Is that 18?
Yep.
2018? Yeah, 2018. Okay, wow. So how many years is that now?
That'll be 6 years now. This spring.
Has
it
been
spring?
6 years?
It'll
wow.
It'll be the 6th anniversary.
We need another one.
Yes, we do. That was fun, and you did a great job. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I actually surprised myself.
Right. Yeah, you rallied for sure, because the benefit was because to support you and your health treatments and things.
Right.
Yeah, so you really rallied, and a bunch of other bands rallied, too. Who else was there? There was a whole list. They played all day.
Let's see. We started off with Django Koenig. Let's see, Scott Graves played solo, Dawn of Thunder and Chris. Let's see, did they play solo? I can't remember. I think they played solo, and let's see. I think they had, like, let's see, we had Bad Dog, and let's see, what was their other one? Stone Bullet, the Peter Mayhew Band. I feel like I'm forgetting any, but something, but I'm not sure. But yeah, that's most of them anyway. But it was like one of the best things. Yeah, thank you, Adam Wigmaster, for setting that up. Him and Dustin Barley. Dustin's got a album out too. It's hip hop. It's called their band Boomslag, for anybody that's interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, that was a whole gathering of folks. It was a great day.
Yeah.
Was there like a movie made or something?
Yeah, documentary. The documentary, you can watch it. It's The Leather J, Willis Pratt, and We're Bionic on YouTube.
The Leather?
The Letter, the J, not J-A-Y.
Oh, okay.
I have them mispronouncing. Speech problems, apparently. Alexa doesn't understand half my words, and I get a little annoyed at it. Like, I was trying to find the word fought, like fought in a war, but it kept thinking I said fart, which is annoying.
That is really annoying.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, because it's like I was putting something about the, basically something about the vets that died and fought in this war are not going to put up with this BS, you know, from who? You know,
yeah, exactly. But Alexa was having trouble understanding
that word, yeah, for some reason. And it's like I tried to change my sound, but it's kind of hard to do, you know,
yeah,
because I hear myself saying it right, but apparently the machine doesn't. And one of these Androids is the same thing. And like, sometimes it does a thing where it puts it in there, and then as soon as you're trying to click on it, it'll like change it back to something else. It's like, what do you do that for?
I know. Trying to talk for me.
Yeah.
Well, you have a unique sound all around. You know, your voice.
That's good. It's hard to sound original because basically everything's done, because a lot of people that listen to Metallica, when they hear like, that's a Metallica riff, right? But guess where? It actually originated from Love Gun by Kiss. But there are riffs that get used over a lot, apparently, and that seems to be one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, are you writing music still?
Oh, yeah, trying to do the best I can. I got a lot of songs that are new ones that I'm trying to work on, but got to want to redo a few. Like, I got one called Herbert Dexter Milo, which is basically about a nerd that gets picked on. And my foster dad, Super Soul Herbert 88, Alan Soul, used to say these words. So, like it's like, Alan, who is that? It's like Herbert. So like that was so funny. He's always saying that. Well, his name, I got that because of Herbert. His favorite number was 88, and he used to go around Super Soul. So I put those together, Super Soul Herbert 88.
Super Soul. They go around saying that.
And what was I saying about him now?
Oh, that you wrote a song recently. Are you working on one about?
Oh, Herbert Dexter Milo. It's about a nerd. Yeah, it gets picked on and school and stuff, but how he becomes king of the castle and everybody likes him now, you know. It's like, oh, now you want a piece of the action now that he's the senior of the corporation, so to speak, you know. It's like, you treated him like crap, but look who he is now, kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what about. But oh yeah, and Milo came from the book Phantom Tollbooth, because I like that book. It's a really excellent book. I used to have the hardcover of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you haven't read The Phantom Bullet, Tollbooth, I recommend it, people. It's like a children's story. It's long and it's very neat. And Dexter, I don't know, it just seemed like a neat name anyways. I do like the show. It's a weird show, the homicidal maniac Dexter, but Yeah, so I strung together Herbert Dexter Milo, and it sounds like a cool name. It's like, who is that, Herbert Dexter Milo?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And if I can learn how to play it again, because it's a pretty good song, and I got a really good bouncy riff that I'm doing something here, but got a song called Who We Gonna Blame Now? And it's like, it's a good song, but the version I got's not really great, but... Like I said, when you don't got time and somebody else's, you get what you get, you know? It's like, let's go for it, get it, something done, you know? At least something is better than nothing as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Get it down.
Well, like some of the videos I posted are not the best, but that's before I got the upgraded camera, too, and all that. But I figured, well, might as well put it up anyways, because they can kind of get an idea so they know that something's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're posting videos?
But yeah, all the time I post. I do little videos here from my living room and playing guitar music, other than the political ones.
Yeah. And you post them what, on YouTube? Or what?
Yeah, YouTube. Well, I used to. I haven't actually, but when I had better set up on certain things, I had... Like, I'd usually go to YouTube first or something, and then you could do it to Facebook. Oh. But now they changed the way that they can do it, so you don't have to do it that way first. But it is good to put it on YouTube, too. That way you have it, so in case something happens. On Facebook, you can reload it. Because I had an actual video of me crying. I was crying in the video. But it was, I saw this woman needing help in a car, and it made me very depressed. But I made a song called, You Know I Have a Heart Because Mine's Breaking. I don't even remember how it goes, but I wish Facebook could delete it. But that's the lesson I learned from now on. You got to save everything. Otherwise, it disappears.
Right. It gets deleted off Facebook. And then
Well, that, and I had one called Cancer. You'll have to bleep that out.
Yeah.
Where are we? On the show.
2222. Those are good numbers.
Right. Okay.
All right.
But, yeah, you got to change that too so you can swear on the radio.
Yeah.
I agree with Howard on that.
With Howard, yeah. Right, it seems an arbitrary place to put a line. You know, just don't say these words. Seriously.
Well, it's like certain words, like somebody actually beeped out money because it says that one word. It's like, really, for that one word, this person? But it's like, that one I think you can get away with because that song's played millions of times every day over the radio, you know? It's like, seriously?
And you're really familiar with the rules of radio because...
I do, but I slip sometimes. Everybody does. Of course, they don't on some labels. They put the advisory. Sometimes they don't now. And then all of a sudden, you're playing along. And then all of a sudden, it's like... It's saying the F word. Like, I did that like a few weeks ago, and it's like I didn't realize because I hadn't heard the album for a while.
Right.
But I thought it had other songs on it, and it, like, all of a sudden it's doing that. It's like, oh, damn.
Right. Yeah, so you've had a radio show at WGDR in.
Yeah, off and on late in the late 90s, early 80s, mid 80s, somewhere around there period.
Uh huh, you started your.
And I've been on and off.
Yeah, mostly on, though.
Yeah.
Just took a few years off there, you know, to get better and everything.
Yeah, health problems and COVID and all that. But I finally came back.
Yeah.
And added a title, because it's the Metal Edge, but then I've added Where You Have Entered the Vinyl Frontier. Yeah, because I'm a Trekkie, so it makes sense, you know, playing vinyl, the Vinyl Frontier.
Yeah.
So nobody else can use it. It's mine.
All right. So the title
is... by me.
Yeah.
There we go. They've already said, because I saw it on a pad, you know, because that said something about that. Because I was the one years ago, I'm like, real music for real people.
Those are good slogans.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do great radio.
Yeah. Well, I do it like I already joked about stealing Kiss's slogan, but the other part is how long do you think Paul and Gene will take before they sue me? But I was going to steal. You wanted the best, you got the best, the hottest band in the world, Jay Willis Pratt and Real Bionic, because Kiss is retired now. But I sometimes say that whole line, but then I go, the best, but then you wanted the best, you got the best, the hottest radio show in the land.
There you
go. To metalize you.
And did you see Kiss recently, right? Didn't you?
Yeah, we went to Madison Square Garden. Check this out. Talking about a real friend, buddies, John Fishman. He's the best.
Yeah, your friend of John Fishman of
Yeah, and it's not his money, you know. It's like, if that went away tomorrow, I'd be depressed, you know, because I do like it. I'd be a liar if I didn't, but that's not why I'm his friend, you know. It's his heart. In fact, he's willing to do that, and we've been friends, you know, and we just connect, you know. It's like, luckily, I just lucked out that I happen to have a rich friend, and hopefully I'm going to be rich because of my music myself, too.
Yeah, getting it out there. Do you have any idea how many albums you've sold or distributed?
Not really. I made a few thousand off the CDs and stuff, but not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's like sell one here and there, you know, and T-shirts and stuff. I got to also start putting money aside for more merch. I don't want to be running out of that, too.
Yeah. I mean, how many T-shirts are out there, you know, in the
exactly.
world?
It's kind of cool, though.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You're king of the merch. You've got great stuff.
Well, one song I'm working on, it's kind of like the riff I've had for a while. It's a pretty rocking riff. But I thought of, like, because I was sitting on my bed feeling kind of depressed, and what popped in my mind is, why don't you give me a little bit of heaven before you decide to destroy me? So I put that in a song. But yeah, so depression can have its moments of grandeur, I guess.
Yeah, inspiration.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been through some tough years.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I have to say, having known you for probably 30 years or something, you seem happier, healthier.
Well,
more
good thing you don't see me that long, because I might be more creative. It's hard to tell, but I've been a lot of depressed.
Yeah.
Well, because I think my body being the way it is not like it used to, so I can't do as much, and just things restrict me, and it kind of leads to more loneliness, basically, when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
And I've always been a loner, but all of a sudden, it's like, when you're alone when you don't want to be, it's a different thing, I guess. Sometimes you like to be alone, sometimes you don't.
Yeah. And you feel like you're
hey, lonely. That's a commercial, isn't it?
That is a commercial.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and so you feel like limited.
Yeah, kind of. And one thing that really bugs me is neuropathy in the hands.
Yeah.
Because I actually did have a scare where these two fingers, like I'm watching them move by themselves, which I didn't know that was possible, but they're like going like this because I'm trying to put them on the fretboard. They moved up to these upper strings, and then I couldn't even perform a bar chord, so there was a very fear of me not being able to play guitar anymore. So it's like I'll be very depressed, and I don't know what I'll actually do if that ever happens, because that's basically my life. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, so it's like, that's just a scare I don't need.
Yeah. Yeah, the neuropathy is real.
Well, it's just weird. It's hard to explain, because, like, how it feels, like, touching this table, like, the back of the neck, it doesn't feel normal. So it's like you're playing a foreign object, kind of. So you got to relearn it, I guess, is the thing.
Yeah, to play guitar. Do you play any other instruments?
Well, I can do a few noise things on the piano. I can do a couple of beats on drums. Not good yet, but I could, like, probably if I had a chance to practice, I bet in a couple of years, maybe even quicker, I could learn the drums. I think I learned them because I did when I went to our Native American Farm in a Wilderness camp called Flying Cloud. I learned the Native American beats and drummed that, so I think that might help with sense of rhythm, maybe. maybe I just naturally had it, but I don't know. But yeah, started out with that, then I ended up getting a set of Starzarian drum sets. Now I got a double set because I got some at a yard sale. But now I got to find a place to storm somebody that's moved on, so to speak, has them, so I got to get those at some point, hopefully. But I'm basically a guitar player, yeah, but I like other instruments, and I wish I was much better guitar player so I could actually, because I like writing my own stuff originally, but it's nice to be able to jam with other people. Like when we went up to the mall doing, like, they got me playing country music there, you know, and
really? With
Donna Thunder Moran, Chris Martin, and all those people, yeah. That was kind of fun, you know. I did my best to keep up. We had a good time. I thought we did pretty good.
Mm-hmm. It was a show?
Yeah, well, it was like kind of open mic in a way, but it was just this group. So, yeah, I guess a show weekly at the mall up there, Walmart there for a while.
Oh, cool.
By that 50s style restaurant.
Oh, yeah, that's a cool place.
I used to like the big hot dogs up there.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, so you did a little country.
Don't talk yourself into going and getting one, Willis. You can't have those right now.
Oh, yeah. Try to eat healthy.
Yeah, diet.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good. Taking care of yourself. That's good. Yeah, so you have, like, usually, you know, when you perform or, I guess, record or... You have a whole band, right? You have friends who play all the instruments.
Yeah, pretty much, but my band's scattered. The joke is we're kind of like Spinal Tap. We're actually a band, and we do exist. Once in a while, we get a gig, but it's kind of hard to say. Yeah, but, yeah, whenever I can set one up, that's good. It's like just got to find a place, and it's like set one up, and then I try to get John Fishman, the drummer Fish, to always try to... come out and do it, because I consider him the official drummer, but we use other drummers when we have to. There's quite a few drummers around, so I got quite a peck. The only problem is the better you get, the more people want to play with you, and you don't want to be a dick by saying can't because of this person, but it's like you got a limited amount of people that you're able to play with, you know, and it's like, okay, this person asked first, so you got to pick that person first. If this person can't, but my main rule is if Fish shows up, he always gets to ride the ride. If they're happy with that, feel free to drum with us. That's great, you know.
yeah, you want to be fair and all that. How did you guys meet, you and Fishman?
Well, me stumbling around with old Milwaukee. Yep, I went to Cheap Beer. Cheap Beer and bad taste in music, maybe.
Cheap beer.
I think my music's pretty good, really, but...
Yeah. Well, you were stumbling around, like,
yeah,
up at...
with old 40s of old Milwaukee up at Goddard, and I wandered into the dorm, and there's Fish sitting there, and a cross-legged group of girls talking to him when he's with a group of young ladies. Forget getting him away from them.
Cool. Yeah, so when did you guys start playing together?
Pretty right off, I guess. It's kind of hard to say exactly when the year was, but when they came, it's like one of the main things, I think Goddard students go, oh no, here comes Willis. You know what he's going to, first thing out of his mouth is going to be, have you seen Fish? Yeah, always looking for him to jam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I met you up there. It was years after that, I think.
Well, that might be why he came up with that part where he says during the gig at the end, it's like, nobody lives more to rock and roll than Jay Willis, bro.
I love that. I hope he doesn't mind if I use that.
Oh, he won't.
Because I was looking for a way to sum it up, and I think that's true. It's almost like you're the angel of rock and roll, you know. You just like live it, you breathe it, you get it on this whole other level that even Kiss doesn't, you know. I don't know any other rockers who get it like you do.
I guess I might be missing something in that translation, because I'm trying to figure out what you mean by that. I just play into what I do, I guess.
Yeah, well, nobody loves it like you do, I think, like Fish said.
I don't know, Gene Simmons. Well, maybe it's the money more, but...
Oh, how'd they do? You just saw them. How was the show?
That was great.
Yeah.
Madison Square Garden. But, oh, yeah, that's what I was saying about my buddy taking me out, spending probably $50,000 to take me and a couple of friends to see Kiss at Madison Square Garden. How the hell cool is that?
Wow.
And that's why I say he's the best. It's like, he is. It's like, wow. Just to do that to somebody, for somebody, is amazing.
Yeah, to see Kiss, I mean...
Well, just to see Kiss, too, but just to spend that much money for me to go see them, it's like, it's mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, thank you for it. I'll never ever pay him back. I basically owe him a debt of everything. It's true.
Well, yeah, I think everyone loves you, Willis, in this community.
Not everyone.
Well, maybe not everyone. Okay, but a lot of people. You have a lot of fans, you know, right here in your neighborhood.
Yeah. It's good to be loved. I try to be as nice and kind as I can, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes things don't always go perfect, you know, but that goes for everybody, so.
It's messy.
Well, that's why I'm surprised. It's like, actually, in my video, Fish says the best person he knows is me. You know, it's like, you can't get a better compliment. For anybody that doesn't believe it, that all they got to do is watch the whole video and they'll see where he says that. That's somewhere toward the end. It's like, wow. To believe he believes that about me is just incredible.
Where's this documentary again?
It's my documentary from the gig, and it's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube?
Yeah,
okay.
Spell it like the band name, J. Willis Pratt, and we're Bionic. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, because that would be good to see. And just in the past year, you also went through a flood.
Yeah, my old apartment got flooded out, but thank God I got my guitars out the night before. I was smart on that one. If I didn't make that, I would have been really talking about bumming out.
Yeah,
I lost some things. I'm not sure what I lost. I lost a lot of stuff. Some people might think some of it was junk. Most of it was not. Just because they didn't have a use for it.
Yeah, well,
there's some things I remember, but I don't know, certain things I'd like to replace, but I don't know, it's hard to replace everything.
Right. Yeah, because you were living on the basement apartment on the Winooski River during the flood. I mean, it was just definitely bad place to be at that moment. And
well, other than the darkness and the landlord, I kind of liked that apartment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and you were there for a long time.
Well, the darkness wasn't too bad. It was just basically that. And also the building having malfunctioned. That building is really in bad shape.
Yeah. Yeah, but you had, like, all of your life in there.
Yeah.
And then the flood came through. So you moved your guitars and you moved yourself, too, I imagine, that night.
Yeah, luckily I spent the night at some friend's house, and luckily I got guitars out because I heard that there was a warning, you know, and I heated it.
Good. Yeah. Heated it.
Yeah, I guess that's how you say it. I heated that warning, yeah.
Yep, you did. Thank heaven. And then had to dig a lot of your stuff out from there.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Well, my plant here, this palm tree, was like half buried, and I thought I lost it. But I went back again and looked in the backyard, and there it was, just up right there. And it's like, oh, great, I'm taking it. So here it is.
So this gigantic plant here, it survived the flood. Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Wow. That is an amazing plant.
Like, yeah, it's struggling a little bit, but it's like, it's a tropical plant, but it's doing pretty good. I mean, it's like, it's a baby palm apparently, but it's got these things, ladies and gentlemen, that it's on a white spackle bucket on the floor, but they're like almost hitting the sill, and they started to bend over already, and it's like, wow, when this thing gets bigger, where I'm going to put it, I definitely want to keep it because it's neat, and I love the idea of having a palm tree in Vermont.
Yes.
Yeah. What's that thing on GDR they had in the lobby there? Is that a fake palm tree?
I don't know. I haven't been in there.
I gotta find out, because even though it may be fake, it's still nice looking and I want it.
Yeah.
I gotta find out where to get one.
Yeah. Oh, those, I think they are growing. I think they are living.
It's a living tree.
They take care of them, yeah.
Cool. So they can survive in that building. Maybe I should donate mine until summer.
Yeah, where it can get the light.
Yeah.
Where it has, yeah. But you have a little bit of a green thumb. I've always known you to have plants, right? You always have plants.
Sort of. I'm still learning about a lot of things.
But you like them, and you always seem to have them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what about nature and...
Yeah, I like nature. I like being in the sun. I don't like winter at all. I hate winter, and I'm a Vermonter. I used to be a skier, too. But now snow's just annoying and cold to me and ugly. It's like these gray days, they really do get me depressed, kind of. It's like it's nice. Even if you're alone, it's like just having the sun out can make a big difference. For me, anyways, it's like... You know, from going like this to like, it's like a battery, a solar battery, kind of.
Yeah, you spend a lot of time at the beach when you can,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, what else do you like to do to relax and have fun?
Play video games, smoke weed, drink booze, which I gotta cut down on.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing good at that, though.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I think it's hard to count, but I think in the last couple of weeks I've only had like 3 or 4 drinks.
Yeah.
Last one I believe I had was a Green State up at the Positive Pie, because I got to watch carbs and boots for the health reasons, which kind of sucks because it's hard to alter your diet when you love certain things.
Yeah.
But if I get a good reading at my PET scan in March, I'm going to probably... cut down on some pills and stuff. It depends on the reading, though. Can't make no decisions till then.
Mm. So you're aiming to take care of yourself, and yeah.
Yeah, the best I can myself.
Definitely.
Yeah, because it's like now it's like it's nice to have people to depend on, but it sucks to have to depend on them.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. How old are you, Willis?
62.
Yeah.
Over the hill and far away.
But not that over the hill. You know, you've had to make a lot of adjustments even while, you know, as a young man.
Yeah.
Over the last 10 years, I saw you kind of hit this point where you were like, I'm so mad at God, you know, but...
Oh, I think I'm still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But... I think you've come out to this other side of, like, joy, you know, of, like, thankfulness, maybe? Maybe you're grateful? I'm not sure.
Well, I've always been thankful for people who've done things that help me or benefit me or get me advanced or somehow. I'm always grateful for that. You always should be, because of some people that are not. It's like, they'll suck it up, and I'm not like that. But it's like, yeah, I like to try to, like, I'm not... don't have much to help people with, but I try to whenever I can. It's like, no, I can't help as much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my thing is, like, to me, it's maybe a small thing, but, like, sharing people's video is a way of helping, like, bands to get out there, because we all need to actually do that. Even my band members, I need to get them to get more on the ball, you know, getting things to help promoting and stuff.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's like everybody has to help each other.
Because
it's like a coming together.
Basically, I'm managing stuff myself. You know, I'm the manager. Someday I might get a manager, but I kind of like having a manager. I mean, being the manager in a way, but sometimes you might need somebody to do stuff that you're not able to do. Maybe.
Yeah.
Like. But I don't know. It's a matter of, like, finding venues and getting gigs, I guess, is the main thing.
Do you have anything coming up?
Well, I'm not sure, but been doing open mic, did one so far at the Den in Williamstown, and I plan on trying to hit every one of them if I can. And I'm hoping, but gotta get some practice in before I do, but hopefully... a little ways down the road, do a little gig with the band there, too. The full band, my band, not just open mic. And hopefully get a few more gigs around, but got to see what's available. And whenever I go and I see what the situation is, I, like, hey, got any room for a band or, you know, and yeah. But, like, actually Adam came and visited to my house. He left my house, came back 10 minutes later and said, you know what, I'm going to set up this, you know, for the gig, you know, the gig of life, which is the, what the album's going to be called.
The gig of life.
Yeah. Yeah, which is funny because I just heard Trey has a song called The Show of Life. Because there's already Steve Pollock. He's the dude of life, so it'd be the gig of life, the show of life, and the gig of life. That's pretty good. I don't think Trey knew I had that, and I didn't know that, so it's like, and it's different, so. But I've already had that name picked out from the beginning, pretty much. Just like right after, it's like, yeah, it's got to be the gig of life. Because it is. It's like my benefit to save me, so.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
And hallelujah, it worked.
I hope so. Let's keep on fighting.
Yeah.
To the end. No, it's because we are the champions.
Definitely.
There we go.
Rock on. Well, let's see. How are we doing? Oh, 46 minutes. So we've got,
that's,
we have like
good,
5 minutes left. What is it you'd like to say? I mean, you're
well,
so busy.
Well, I appreciate the fans that do come. Hopefully get more. Hopefully I'll sell a lot of albums. Hopefully get some more merch done. Got a lot of work to do. Hopefully it'll get done, and hopefully it'll actually be a brew out too. I have two ideas for a beer, Bionic Brew. And yeah, with the color, like yellow with the color of the cups, the blue beard picture of me, so J. Willis Pratt and we're Bionic with Bionic Brew written on it. That's one idea. And then another one, because Riley Christensen, obviously his name, runs Bar Hill, and I'm thinking, well, since he doesn't do beer, maybe I can get Bionic Tonic made. So somebody like make gin and tonic, Bionic Tonic, it rhymes to it. I like the idea.
Yeah.
Bionic Tonic. Yeah, I'm not sure if we can. I'm not sure what the details are, but I was talking to the record company. It'd be nice to have a full poster like that of the full band to put in the album, so like when you pull out you have the full album to put on the wall like they used to have them.
You get a poster,
but
in.
If that's too expensive, I'm thinking, because this is one my friend made, us flying in Superman suits with Christopher Reeves. We might have to by law cut Christopher Reeves out, but I hope not, because it'd be great to have five of us. And my joke is we let Christopher Clark Kent join the band, you know?
Why not?
Yeah, I had one with just me and Fish or something, I think. I think it's that one with me and Fish or something. There's one with, like, a few of us, and I go, yeah, you let Clark join the band.
Yeah. You have to vote on it or
but
something.
It's kind of neat wearing our Superman suits, you know?
Cool.
Yeah. My friend Chris, however you spell his last name, Ferio, made it. So you might get credit, Chris, on that, on the album, maybe. if it goes, that is.
Yeah.
But figure we have that on the inside. That'd be the thing, like, hey, can you sign that? That'd be a little, like, nice insert inside the album.
Mm-hmm.
Be great to do both, but I don't know if we can.
Right.
Yeah, because the more we add, the better, the more expensive it's going to be. And I want to try to, like, get more country copies so I can sell it at a low price, too, because I don't want to sell it for an arm and a leg, but it's going to cost, so. So got to go buy whatever it costs us, because you want to make a profit so you can re-up the album and make a profit in general, you know, so you get ahead.
Right. You have a good business head. You're always thinking.
I try to. Yeah, I try to. I learned from the best.
Yeah, and always working on something. You're a busy guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I want to achieve it. It's not, I mean, in a way it's about the money too, but I don't think I'm as greedy as Gene.
So what's your dream? It's not about the money.
Well, to be rich and famous, basically, to never have to worry about it again, just to relax and to make music that people can enjoy. Because it is, it's fun to get people, like, I like doing clowning too, because I had a half an hour clown show for a while, and it was fun to get people to laugh. It's like getting stoned in a different way, because you're getting high off of people getting high because they're enjoying what you're doing.
You were clown. I didn't know you clowned.
Yeah, my clown name was Ace Frehley. I have a picture of it somewhere. I thought I'd shown you that picture. Like, yeah, I got the big red nose, the gold paint instead of silver. A yellow hat that said that's a big 10-4 on a patch. Walked like this. And so I had these four giant ace and like they started to show like, hi everybody, I'm oh yeah, that's an ace. Ace Frehley. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It was a pretty good costume I had too. Yeah, I learned that from working with the Two Penny Theater Company that came to my school. Well, they were Two Penny Circus then. Then actually, it's funny because Bill, a friend I was hanging out with today for breakfast, we were talking about that because he's like met some things and where we ended up mentioning Circus Marcus, and I go, oh, maybe, but he left by that time. I forgot that he left by then, but maybe you know Doug Berkey, because Doug Berkey started Marcus Circus, and it's an offspring from the Two Penny Company.
Wow, who came
circus,
to your school?
Two Penny Circus, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So that...
Yeah,
that was
and he knows Donnie and Janet. It's like, wow, small world. It really is.
Right. Oh, definitely. Wow, so you're clowning too. I mean, I can see it's the fun. It's the fun that you bring to everything. Really.
It is, and it's fun. It's like, it is. It's just fun to just clown and laugh at yourself and make people laugh. On my guitar case, too, I think it was the original first guitar I had. I wrote The Clowns. I, like, cut out paper and put it on with Elmer's glue or something. The Clowns, that was the band. Because we did, like, I had this kazoo I got somewhere, and we did, they're going to put me in the circus, you know, instead of a movie, make a big clown out of me, all that. So it was pretty cute.
Oh.
So I had the kazoo doing that. And it was like a little bugle shape one, too. So that was cute. Yeah, I don't know where I might have gotten that from David. But yeah, that was fun. I actually would like to incorporate that. I'd like to do the clowning again, but I'd like to incorporate with the band. So it'd be like comedy and music together. So it would be Kiss with comedy.
That
was the ideal, if I can do it. You know, it's a matter of the other people being around to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, I like that idea.
Wow.
Well, it's like some of my music has humor in it, and that's like, that's my thing. If you can get them to laugh, they might buy your music, too.
You always do have, yes, there's always a comical side, like another way of looking at it, a twist on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for all of your creativity and
you're
dedication
hopefully,
to sharing it.
Hopefully a lot more will come up. I haven't painted in a while, but I'm hoping to get my Judas Priest Defenders of Faith painting that might have gotten destroyed, but it's online, so I'm hoping to get it made into a print the size of that poster and sell it too.
Nice.
But if anybody knows the cover of Defenders of the Faith, it's pretty cool. But yeah, I used the acrylics. I haven't painted in years, though.
Mm-hmm.
I have to get new acrylics and do it again, but I don't know if I have the interest or not. I'll have to try it.
Yeah, it might be good for your hands or something, just good therapy or
that's
something.
Another thing. I don't know if I can with that.
Yeah.
But I guess it's worth a try.
Yeah. Wow. I've learned so much more about you. This has been really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Willis.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you for being a friend. You too, though. Long-time friends go way back.
Yeah. It's a great place to live here with people like you.
Cool.
All right, thanks, Willis.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to everyone.
Cheers.
We'll be right back.
All right, folks, this is Amy with the 5-H Show, and you just listened to a personal At the Kitchen Table interview with J. Willis Pratt from Plainfield, Vermont. And his band is called We're Bionic, and it includes John Fishman on drums, Drew Gatto, John Kaisowitz, and Aaron Hersey are in his band, as well as many other folks that he has had in his bands over the years. And I definitely recommend that you check him out on Facebook. He's also got a YouTube channel, and there's that great documentary about him and about his benefit concert from a few years ago. And also, he has a radio show of his own on sister station WGDR WGDH out of Plainfield. He does the Metal Edge every Saturday from noon to 2. Not that I want to send you to another community radio station, because you're already listening to WMRW, which is great. But we do have other sister stations in the world that are awesome, too. And maybe we can syndicate Willis here in Warren, Vermont. That would be a lot of fun. I bet there's a lot of metalheads out there who would love this. And next time that Willis has a live gig, probably at the Den in Williamstown at his next open mic, we will have him come in here too and do a kind of a live interview. So I'm going to let you rock out with Willis for the last minute here for today, and we'll be back with the 5-H Show next week. Thanks for listening.
Sucks.